Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We are always encouraged to know that God is touching lives all around the world through what He is doing right here in New Albany, Indiana. If you have a story about what God is doing in your life, please send an email to amen@hillsidechurch.us. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online or through text so we can continue to bring messages just like this one to you each week. Find out more by visiting hillsidechurch.us.
All right, come on, just turn to your neighbor and say, God's up to good. God's up to good. God's up to good in your life, and we are excited today. I'm excited to continue our series in prayer. Last week, if you haven't had an opportunity to listen, we have the message available online, and Tom Simmons just did a remarkable job. One of our prayer team members here, him and his wife serve on our prayer team that we offer at the end of service, and he began our series talking about prayer and really breaking down. I thought it was so profound on many levels, but one of the things I really loved is that it gave us a great foundation for prayer, taking us through the Old Testament and through the New Testament of how God's heart is to communicate with us. And it's two-way. It's not just us listening, though that is perhaps the most important portion or part of prayer, but it's also us having available to us Almighty God, creator of the universe, who knows us by name. Before we were ever formed, He knew the days ordained for us, as Psalm 139 would say. And so I'm encouraged and excited today to prepare or have prepared today's message. I love what I call God winks in our life, these moments where God just kind of winks at you. We call them coincidences. I've heard somebody say, the more I pray, the more coincidences seem to happen. And to that I say, amen. That is true. And it's kind of fun. Every year around October and November, I usually sit down. It's not a one-moment thing. It takes a few weeks here and there. Just give portions of the day to preparing for the next year and looking at different series and sermons. And so we knew this series, I in particular knew this series was coming. And today's message, I thought especially, was a God wink from heaven, because I've known for a few weeks now that the message was going to be entitled, Prayer is Peace. I've known that for a season now. Last week was Prayer is Personal. We talked about how we serve a God that walks and desires communion with us. He desires to walk in relationship with us. And today, I play on the P's again, prayer is peace. And Kelly and I were talking about this yesterday as she was getting ready to go and lead the ladies' small group that met at Coffee Crossing. They do that once a month, by the way. That's a shameless plug. You're welcome. But it just so happened, they've been going through what's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit and how God develops us into His likeness and how from the internal life we're leading, that goes into the external life. And yesterday, you guessed it, their subject was peace. And so it's just kind of neat to see how God does that. That also was planned way in advance. So God definitely knows what we need to hear in this season. And this season, I love, it's not an illustration. It was a story that Jesus participated in. And I love to think that God does indeed have a dry sense of humor. In this particular story, not Luke 11, but a story I want to share before that, is a moment where Jesus is traveling with His disciples across the Sea of Galilee. And the storm has come up rapidly. The clouds have formed. The waves are getting treacherous. The boat is rocking back and forth. And we see two different responses to the storm and the chaos that's surrounding. We see the disciples, who I really can identify with in life circumstances, they hit the panic button. And they are flipping out, and they are freaking out. They are overwhelmed by their circumstances. And here's the humor of God. We see the Son of God, the Savior of the world, asleep in the front of the boat. That's how our God rolls. He's not nervous. He's not shaken. I checked this morning for you. He's still on His throne, considered the King of Kings and Lord of all Lords. And what He has asked for us to do as His followers is to walk wisely in this season, to use caution and precaution in this season. But there is one commandment you will not find in your Bible, and that is the commandment, thou shalt panic. It's not in there. I've looked several times, and I still have not found it. Now, you may be have a little more education or consider yourself a stronger Bible scholar, but please, by next Sunday, find me that verse so that I can begin to use it. But I have not found it yet. I have only found that Jesus gives a peace that surpasses all understanding, and that he gives us his promises in his word. And that, yes, fear actually is an important part of living. Adrenaline is given to you by God for moments of life that panic is actually priority, because you're in arm's way to save somebody's life, or you get that superhuman strength that we've heard about where you can lift somebody out of a trap or a pitfall. Or there is this shock value that you suddenly find yourself going from 80 miles per hour to slam on the brake somebody in the middle of the road. That's a good thing, somebody. But it's not meant to be sustained. The good news is, if you follow Christ today, the beauty is you have one who's inviting you to follow him and to walk in his ways, to walk in his truth. And that begins with knowing how loved you are by God. Every thought he has is for your good. Every moment that he experiences, he is plotting and planning for your good. And God invites us to follow his ways and to walk in his truth. And today, prayer is peace. I'm going to spend a few moments with a prayer that you perhaps are familiar with. In fact, for some of you, this may have been the first prayer you memorized, or the first prayer you learned. I remember learning the prayer we're going to look at today at a very young age, but I would be lying if I said I've always prayed it, or that it's always been a prayer I've kind of orbited around. It's not been since the last 5 years that I've realized just what a priority this prayer is in my life and in the good days during my daily life in those seasons. And it is called the Lord's Prayer. But before we get to it, I want to just invite you into a little thought exercise. I just invite you to use your imagination with me for a moment. And for the parents in the room, I want you to pretend you're watching March Madness. Just pretend with me, okay? That you're taking your time. Some of you, don't get too excited. Just pretend. It's the imagination. Some of you, you serve a college team that you're glad it's not March Madness, but I digress. And you're in the living room, you're watching, you've got your snacks, you're just enjoying life, and your little one walks in and they tap you on your knee. They're looking you in the eye and they're about to ask you a question. Now, those of you that aren't parents, let me propose another scenario for you. You're driving down the road and your best friend is calling you on the phone in a tizzy. And they're going through a major situation, and they are calling you. Maybe the tears are flowing, and it's a difficult moment, and they're calling you. And then they pause for just a matter of seconds, and then they're getting ready to ask you a question. And here's what the question is for the parents. Dad, Mom, would you teach me how to pray? Your best friend's asking, and it's maybe something you've been plotting. Maybe it's something you've been, you know, hey, check this message out. Maybe you've been praying for them behind the scenes or dropping those little tracks off or an encouraging verse, and they're like, man, quit shoving Jesus down my throat. But here's the moment. I say, hey, would you teach me how to pray? What do you say in that moment? No? Like, some of you are like, duh, it's March Madness. This can wait. No, that's the wrong answer. But I would propose to you, almost on a daily basis, nobody's coming to us. They do come to pastors, but most of the time, for most of us in this room, nobody's coming and saying, hey, will you teach me how to pray? But I will say, they're asking it whether they ever formulate the question or not. Kelly and I, the movie will remain nameless, but it's a Christmas-themed movie. So we start watching it. My wife starts watching it every July and just proceeds through the second half of the year, as all Christmas classics go. But in the movie, there's some strange and unique family dynamics. And there's this one part where the sister is talking to the goofy older brother, and they're in this dialogue, and the sister's like, "Hey, your freak flag is showing." Like, in other words, you're acting crazy. And that's something that I felt. You know, you'll watch a movie, you'll hear a quote, and suddenly you're empowered. That's something that my wife and I, we both feel empowered in. So now we'll find ourselves in certain environments where I might not be on my best behavior. And my wife will look at me and be like, "The freak flag is showing. Bring it down." You know? And let me say this to you. Your prayer life is showing. Let that land with you. Your prayer life is showing. And here's the thing. It's okay if you don't have much of one. It's okay for right now. But you need to grow your prayer life. The beautiful thing is you have availability with God through the Holy Spirit. You have availability to grow and to foster and to lean in to this thing called prayer, which I am convinced, outside of the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, prayer is a very close third to our daily lives. Yes, I love the Word of God. I believe in reading the Word of God, but there is something unique and special about prayer. When God, just at the right time, sends the right message, my soul needs to hear. That's the power of prayer. And in the moments where we are finding ourselves in difficult situations or just in need of a refreshing from God, can I tell you what cultivates that? What ushers us through the door is prayer. And I want to let you know that God has made a way that we can pray. We talked about it earlier today. It's the blood of Jesus. Jesus' work, his life, his death, and his resurrection has paved a way that when we follow Christ, can I tell you, as Tom shared so fantastically last week, the veil, it was ripped, and it was more than just symbolic. It was supernatural. There was a veil that guarded what is known as the Holy of Holies. It is the most sacred space in the entire planet to the Jewish people. And that's true to this day. In fact, a couple years ago, I had the privilege of going to Israel. And while we were in Jerusalem, we went to what's called the Temple Mount, where, by the way, thousands are gathering today to pray. Pretty awesome. You can check it out on Facebook later. You're welcome. But saw that on my way in today. But while we're there, it's such a sacred space still by the Jewish people that our tour guide, who was a devout Jew, he said, "Now you can go up there, you can walk around, but I've got to meet you on the other side." Well, here's what happened for those of us following Christ as we recognize that the sacred space, that the distance of God's presence, that the availability of God's presence, here's what's remarkable. The veil was torn, and now we have the availability, the opportunity, the invitation, as we heard last week, for us to step into relationship with Him. So this series is about fine-tuning our inner being. It's about fine-tuning our ears and fine-tuning how we can communicate to God. The Lord's Prayer is used in multiple sorts of ways. For some people, it's used, we use it, there's oftentimes a night, I'll just pray it as we're about to fall asleep. We'll just gather our hands together and pray and gone. That's it. Other people, I've heard of Dr. Yonggi Cho, who, how many of you know, when you're a pastor and have a million people under your care, it's good to pray? Okay. Well, through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and I believe in the 90s, they had the largest church in Seoul, Korea. And Dr. Yonggi Cho would use the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for prayer. So he wouldn't just simply say it rather rapidly. He would spend time under each heading and just take a moment to search his soul and pray and seek God and see what God was up to. And so there's all sorts of various ways you could use it. In today's teaching, my theme, though, is sticking with prayer, is peace. And we're going to look at what each section, the peace that it is available, excuse me, and the opportunity that is before us. So in Luke 11, we have what our children and our best friend just asked. Except in this text, it's the disciples. They've come up to Jesus. They saw him praying. And they were like, something's different with this guy. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know how exactly he's worked it all out. But there is something happening with this guy that we're following. And so I love how Luke records it. Verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And hold on for a moment. That is something that rabbis did. They taught their disciples to pray. You may be here today, and I want to let you know something. You've been taught how to pray. You may come from a family that is gifted in what I call panic prayers. Panic prayers. I am gifting our kids, Lord, have mercy prayers right now. Almost anything happens, I'm just like, Lord, have mercy. Drawn on the wall, Lord, have mercy. Some of you, you're taught, oh my goodness, prayers. We were taught, we were discipled. Our parents, or lack thereof, were doing the very, very, very best they could. Forgive them. If you have lack in your life and in your spiritual life, get over it, get past it. But they've trained you to panic. You were not wired for fear. You just weren't. God created you and was like, it's good. You are good. You were wired for joy, wired for peace, wired for rest, wired for faith, wired for big, wild, amazing dreams. I mean, the greatest evangelist, Paul, who ever lived, he said, man, I'm praying that you would have an idea of how high, how wide, how deep, how extravagant is that love. That's what we were wired for. And Jesus, I'll take that. That was an amen out there. I feel that. And Jesus gives them what they need. He speaks from the overflow of his heart. We have options when our best friend calls and says, I'm in this bind. Would you teach me how to pray? We can do like I do with many of you. I've got a book. I'm going to order it on Amazon, and it'll be there by Thursday. You're welcome. Or you can do like I've done in times past, and I'm like, well, let me share my doctrine with you. How about I give you these 16 steps out of my belief system? That's what you need right now. Or we can share with them the relationship that we have with God. That on a daily basis, behind the scenes, they don't see it. They don't, may not know anything about it, but we've been cultivating and we've been developing a tender heart towards the ways of God. And we've been cultivating and just letting the Holy Spirit have his way within us so that when panic pokes us, so to speak, we can't help but, ooh, there's some peace. That's what Jesus offers. The disciples come up and they're like, man, teach us how to pray. So how does he begin? How would you begin? Jesus begins with this, Father. He begins with the most intimate term we can find in Scripture. Father. Or in Matthew, as it reads, and as we appropriately say, Heavenly Father. Maybe you've heard the phrase, Abba, Father. I know some friends and pastors and just people in life, they use Papa. I love that. I love that there's intimacy tied to that. Or Daddy. I don't say that, by the way. That's Dad. I honestly don't use Papa, but I love the imagery there. It's the same as the word that Jesus used for Father. King James Version has grown, had such an impact on our language more than any other book. And Father has maybe lost some of the intimacy that it carried when it was originally translated and written. But it is this idea that you and I are now privileged to be children of the living God. For those of you who are here for the first time, you've never perhaps heard me share, but I remember when I was in a valley season of my soul, when I was in a bit of a what's called the dark night of the soul, and I was prone to anxiety and prone to a little panic. I remember there were some people talking with me to help me get out of that space. It's good to have people in our lives, amen. It's good to have people you can talk to help lead you out. And I remember on one distinct phone call, this particular person, as we were tracking in the day, they said, well, how do you view yourself in the kingdom of God? Do you view yourself as a slave, as a sheep, or as a son in the kingdom of God? How many of you know when somebody proposes that, you know what you're supposed to say? They didn't want to know what I was supposed to say. They wanted to know, when my head hits the pillow, do I view myself as a slave in the kingdom of God? And I get it. You who knows the scripture, I get, you know how Paul calls himself a bondservant of Christ. I get all, we've got all the religious answers. I've got them all too, don't worry. I could make an argument for a sheep. I've got all those religious answers too. I mean, they're available in scripture. They're there. You could be a slave, you could be a sheep, but equally so, you can be a son. Equally so, you can be a daughter of a living God. You can tonight put your head on the pillow. I'm getting ready. My mother-in-law from Alabama is coming up. I'm getting my southern on pillar. But you can put your head on the pillow and recognize, oh my goodness, I've been living as a slave. I've lived for, honestly, most of my life in the kingdom of God. There was a striving nature. There was a restlessness to my soul. There was a fear to my mind. But thankfully, the Lord slowly but surely has broken what I call strongholds that were on my soul, that I've begun the journey of recognizing just how loved I am by God. That there is nothing in this moment I can do that will make God love me more. Equally, there's nothing I can do in this moment that will make God love me less. Because of Jesus and the work he did, Hebrews would say he once and for all paid the price for sins past, present, and future. It's the beauty of our relationship with God is that we can now have peace in our position. That's what Father means. Our spiritual state is at rest. Can we bring up that slide? Peace in our position. Or not. Father. Father, Heavenly Father, means peace in our position. We can approach our prayer time and declare God as Father because Jesus made it possible. It's not our works, it's not our efforts, it's not our goodness, but it's the blood of Jesus and the mercy of God. God's not, by the way, putting you up for adoption. There's nothing you can do that he's like, you know what? We done. No, he loves you. And he's doing everything he can to draw you back home. It's the mercy. It's the hope. It's the goodness of God. Now, in our own free will, our own free choosing, we can choose a life apart from God. But from God's end towards us, he's made possible through his love and through the Holy Spirit. He's drawing us close. So for Jesus, he's teaching and he's showing disciples, you may have learned one way to pray. You may have had a pattern of thinking, a pattern. You can imagine Peter, James, John, Matthew, who was a tax collector, and all the shame that he brought to the table because of ripping off his fellow brothers and sisters in his nation. And so he could be coming with all this shame. And so they're leaning in, and Jesus says, hey, you don't start with my distant relative that I saw last Thanksgiving. No, you don't start with this, Tom talked about, the image of God. Hey, God, way up in the top right-hand corner of heaven. We've all had our moments. A great book, if you're up for books, is J.B. Phillips' Your God is Too Small. talks about the different images that we have of God. You don't approach God. Who's God today? I think he's a policeman. Who's God today? He's Father Christmas, Santa Claus with a flowing beard. No. God says Jesus, Son of God, says he's Father. It's a beautiful picture. And what does Jesus say? He says, hallowed be your name, or worthy of honor, reverence, and glory. Worship your name. Hallowed be your name. And I call this peace in our priorities. Peace in our priorities. It's getting into alignment with the will and the ways of God. Amen, somebody? And so when you begin to structure your life and begin to have a prayer life that involves the Lord's Prayer, I want to tell you, it can mess your world up. It's convenient to just ask God for stuff. You can have that prayer life if you want it. God will meet you there, I promise. But God offers so much more, and what he's offering us in this Lord's Prayer is an opportunity to say, hey, God, not my will, we can move right on, but your will, your kingdom come. That's peace in our purposes. If you're feeling burned out, you're feeling like you got no vision, can I tell you it's a great place to be? Hop in to God's purpose, God's plan, God's vision for your life. Right now, upstairs in our growth track room, we've got several families just going through our 201. Why do we do growth track 201? We do growth track 201 because we believe you are distinctly, wonderfully, fearfully, uniquely made by God. Like, your wife may not like your freak flag, but God does. Okay, somebody? He's wired you uniquely, and we believe you are uniquely wired for a vision that fulfills his purpose, his plan, his mission. He's created you as a vessel. Like your friends, they need you. They don't need me coming in their life, trying to show them the love of God. They need you because you have a voice. You have a tenderness, maybe. Maybe you have an edge. Maybe you have a terrible sense of humor. You have a unique way about who you are that can reach them and touch them. But here's what needs to happen. It needs to be understood that life is not about your kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. It's about his ways. It's about his will. It's about signing our life away. God, wherever, whenever, here we go. Waking up. It's Henry Blackaby in his Experiencing God curriculum. He said his life's about finding out where God is moving, identifying that, and jumping in. Not coming up with a good idea and inviting God along, but no, jumping in. That's why the beautiful thing, you can work at a school. It's not a J-O-B. It's a kingdom of God come. It's the beauty of walking in relationship with God. You may own your own business. You know what God got? Your business, it's a front for the kingdom of God invading society. It's a front. It's not just here to make money. I mean, it's going to happen. God's going to bless that. God's going to, you know, make a way. Don't misread it. God's going to do all that he's going to do. But here's the bottom line. You see customers, he sees names. People for you just to interact with, pray for them, encourage them. It's a life of peace in our purposes. Your kingdom come. I battle with three different kingdoms. Y'all, you don't have as many personalities as me. Maybe you just have one kingdom. I battle in three areas. My kingdom. I'm very familiar with my kingdom. I've got books that enforce my kingdom come. I like to remind my wife of my kingdom, 5 love languages, kingdom, living. If I'm not careful, it becomes all about me, and at the end of the day, all about me. Have you tried that life? It's really good in your teenage years, but as you carry it into young adulthood, it starts getting a little shady. And then when you get married, it ain't going to work. Tried it. Tried it yesterday. Didn't work. No, I'm just kidding. May try it today, a little bit later. It's not going to happen. But my kingdom becomes all about me. Now, none of us, let's just be honest, none of us would say that. Like, nobody walks up and says, hey, so glad to meet you. Just want to foster this relationship to see how you can serve me. No, nobody. That you would look at and be like, a punch to the face. Nobody's that blunt. But subtly, the wiring in our mind, and the discipleship we've had from others, can lead us to living a life of my kingdom. And God calls us out of that. He calls us out of Egypt, not into a wilderness, but into a promised land where you live with God's kingdom, his ways, his will. Second area that I battle with, nobody in here would, I'm sure, but for me, there's my kingdom, but then I have what I call the comparison trap kingdom. Y'all ever had that kingdom at play? I didn't think so. Okay, I guess I am alone. I can move right along. But my kingdom, the comparison trap kingdom, this is the age-old adage of keeping up with the Joneses. This is that age-old adage of parallel, of competition, of comparison, of striving, of earning, of trying to make a way where there seems no way and doing things in our own strength. It's a comparison trap kingdom, and social media is amazing. I love it, but it can also be difficult for the soul because if you allow it, discontentment begins to stir. And here's what happens. You start devaluing yourself. And that comes from the enemy of your soul. He wants to tell you. You ever had this thought? I'm just proposing. Maybe it's out there that you don't measure up. No? Didn't think so. Okay. But maybe you've had this thought that you'll never amount to anything. Or that you're an idiot. Or that you don't have what it takes. Or that the mistake you made 60 years ago is how God views you now. It's a lie from the enemy. Satan, remember, I share this often. Satan, the Hebrew root word is hasatan, and here's what it means, the accuser. If you ever wonder what the enemy's up to, oh, he's just up to accusing. You'll never measure up. You don't have what it takes. You ugly. You're not, okay, on the recording, that wasn't pastor saying you're ugly. I think you're amazing. I think you're fearfully and wonderfully made. I just know how the enemy of our soul works. And so what we do is we begin the hamster wheel life. And Jesus says, we can shut down the hamster wheel life. You can shut it all down by focusing and fixing your eyes on Christ. And here's that third kingdom, God's kingdom. God's kingdom. Can I tell you, when you live for God's kingdom, there's peace. I love what Brian Houston, the pastor of Hillsong, says. He says, if it's God's will, he'll foot the bill. If it's God's will, he'll foot the bill. That's the truth, that God never leads us into some place he's not going to make a way. Which leads me into this second to last thought. This is a pivotal portion. This may be worth the entire price of admission for you this morning. This prayer, give us our daily bread. 3 years ago, this is what Jesus, no, excuse me, 4 years ago, this is what Jesus was teaching me personally. Two words. Daily bread. As a husband, as a father, as an American, I find myself sometimes consumed with next March and March 2025 bread. March 2045, bread. You'll never find Jesus in that place. Or he's already gone there and he's coming back and be like, just take today. Daily bread. Never forget when we launched our church, we had specifically made and budgeted accurately for our lives. But things were getting a little tense in our home, and I was taking the bait of the enemy, and he was like, panic. I was like, okay, panic. He was like, worry. I was like, okay, worry. And he's like, don't sleep. I was like, okay, I can't keep this up. But it was just a swirling tornado of not fun in my life. And God began to settle my soul down, and he said, son, I want you to learn in this season. Let's not waste this season. It's not a waste, but somehow in the winter, you will grow the biggest faith. Because in the summer, when the sun's out, the wind's blowing, the kids are playing, barbecue's going, the pool's wonderful, everything's perfect. It's in the winter that you'll grow the big faith that you need for your future. And he said, and here's the critical step. You need to understand that I provide daily bread. Things were a little tight for us. Isn't it fun? I don't know if you've experienced this, but when things may be a little tight, wasn't at that point paid by the church on a regular basis. And at that time, I remember it was a little tight. Things were a little tense. And isn't it, that's just how life is. And then your transmission falls apart. Yeah, anybody else relate to that? Like you're like, man, things were tough. Thanks, transmission. And your transmission's like, you're welcome. you're really welcome. Oh, it might be more than the transmission, but no, I digress. And I remember, again, panic, fear, worry. Man, I had all the fruits of the not Holy Spirit, and I was putting them on display, and God was busy teaching me. And I remember one mid-afternoon coming back and opening up the mailbox, and somebody, like, way late, hear that. Way late, like we were church planting months earlier. Somebody way late decided to give. They didn't give to the church, they wrote us a check. $1,000 out of nowhere. I wasn't even praying for it. I was just like, what? God's like, daily bread. We'd have some family visit the next month, $1,000 check. Not to the church, to us personally. What is that? That's daily bread. I was listening to one pastor several weeks ago, and he was sharing a story of how in the 70s, he's a little older, but how in the 70s when their ministry had first begun, and they church planted in Missouri, him and his wife were, man, I think he was making like $90 a week. It was rough. And he said one time he was doing the dishes, and he said money came up out of the, what's the thing? Out of the sink, yeah. What's the thing that? Disposal, yeah. Out of the disposal side. Okay, thank you. See, well, this is good. We're working together. And money came up. And he's not that guy. Like, he's not like, hey, I got a weird story every 5 minutes. No, he's not. Very regimented, theological, just straightforward guy. But he's like, what is that? He's like, that's Father, whose eye has not for 1 second got off the sparrow. He's got your daily bread. And we end on this. I shared first service. This last portion is really easy. We do a good job as Christians, so I can go by it really quickly. That is, forgive our trespasses or our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Right? Easy peasy? No, not so much. You're like, I can't tell. Are you serious? You're joking? I'm hungry. Get off the stage. Okay, there's a lot. But I mean this last point. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Isn't it just like God in one of the aspects of Jesus to give us his son to share with us how to have peace in every area of our life? There's a chance the point before was what you needed to hear. God's going to provide your daily bread. But there's a chance right now you're sitting and a root of bitterness is growing in your soul. Can I just have 30 seconds to warn you? Cut the root out. Rip it up. Burn. I don't care. If you need to, whatever it takes, don't let any bitterness grow anywhere. Forgive. Forgive your mom. Forgive your dad. Even if they've passed away, say it. Write them a letter and burn it. Whatever discipline you need to do, forgive. Just stop replaying it over in your mind. You're rehearsing it. You're nursing it. You're going to curse it. And God's saying, forgive. Here's how. God has so forgiven you. I don't know about you, but sometimes when bitterness gets up there, when an offense takes root, it can be a real bait. It can be a real snare. But I think to myself, sometimes, man, when I get in the presence of God, I'm reminded what a Savior we have. I didn't deserve it. I couldn't make it happen. But God freely forgave. And he says, now you forgive your brother and your sister. Amen? Some of the kids are a little excited today. Let me bless you, and then we'll close. God, it's a great time to be alive. It's a good season to follow you. And Lord, I thank you that even in the midst of trials and tribulations and the circumstance that surround our world today, you've not moved. You're still on your throne. You're still alive, active, passionate towards your people. I bless you, God, and I say thank you for your great love. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, and I pray for that peace to be each person's portion this morning. As we close, I want to give you an opportunity to be born again, to give your life to Christ and step into the family of God. Every relationship starts with a conversation, and I just want to lead you in a short prayer. Would you say this with me? Heavenly Father, I need your grace. I ask that you forgive me of all my sin. I give you my past. I give you my present, and I trust you with my future. Would you have your way in me, God? I call you Lord and Savior. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our community at Hillside Church aims to reach people and build lives with the life-changing message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, please visit our website, hillsidechurch.us. God bless.